Welcome to VR in Education.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of VR in Education, where we dive deep into virtual reality for teaching and learning. On the show today, we have House Call VR. The founder is podiatrist Dr. Linda Saravelli, and she's a leading immersive hub information sharer. Linda's here today to talk more about her groundbreaking approach to patient medical literacy, so important in today's day and age. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Craig, for having me today. I really appreciate it. I'm a longtime listener of your podcast, and it's very, very exciting for me to be here today.
Just a sidebar. Normally, I do not so well with last names. How did I do today on your last name?
You know, I'm only going to 8.5 out of 10. It's a tough one. So it's Civarelli, often mispronounced.
I've been down to a 3 before, so I'll take the 7 or 8.5 that you're giving me. I always like to start with people's origin story. What got you interested in this new medium or slightly new medium, VR, in the first place?
It's so cool to be able to talk about this. I'm a relative newcomer to the field. I've been in practice of medicine for over 2 decades now, and that's been my wheelhouse. I've had the honor to serve my community in that way for, you know, like I said, for more than 20 years now. And I've always had an interest in technology. I've always had an interest in novel solutions to old problems. I'll say, as far as immersive tech is concerned, I had tried Google Glass and got instantly sick because of a roller coaster or some horrible thing that I was on. I thought, well, that's terrible. Fast forward to Christmas 2021, my youngest child got an Oculus headset for Christmas. And I'm setting it up for him and have what I can only describe as a eureka moment. I saw an ad for on the headset for a social VR platform where anyone can build. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what if I could use this medium to show my patients what I want to tell them? And really, that set me off on this amazing journey into co-founding House Call VR and really looking at using immersive tech as a way to leverage the amazing powers of the technology in the patient education and engagement space.
Yeah, patient literacy or medical literacy is, as you've already alluded to, so much needed. And I have a personal story related to that for the listeners. I had a cyst in my right sinus cavity, and it was causing all sorts of issues. You know, fast forward, eventually they were going to remove it. And I sat down with the doctor, and he tried to explain to me on his 2D computer with some of the CAT scans, but I was completely lost in regards to what it was he was actually going to do, which just led to my anxiety. I remember the day before the surgery, I was uncharacteristically a bit afraid. And so talk to me more about this amazing use case, which is for medical patient literacy.
Well, first of all, I am so sorry that that happened. And, you know, it's unfortunately, and we were just chatting before the podcast, Craig, that's the rule That's not the exception. Pretty much everyone has at least once, but most of the time had more than once, the experience where you go to the doctor and they're explaining things in a language that you don't understand, like literally or figuratively. They're using medical language terminology that you may not be, maybe unfamiliar with. There are a number of other reasons where you may have trouble assimilating all of this really new and sometimes complex and, oh, and by the way, life-changing information. That's an incredible amount of information to put on a patient. And then on the other side, from the clinician, we have less and less time to spend with our patients. There's, you know, projected shortages of up to 100,000 to 150,000 too few providers in the U.S. alone in the next 10 years. So, you know, we have to see an inordinate amount of patients. And so that squeezes that time even further. So, you know, first off, I'm sorry that that happened to you. I think that there's so many more opportunities in healthcare to honor a patient with the information that people truly want. You know, I think gone are the days of going to the doctor and just being like, whatever you say, doc, I'll do it. That's fine. I mean, we're information consumers. We're used to having this information that is understandable and digestible. And in healthcare, that patient education, that's just not a thing. It's not really something that's highly valued in many ways. Health literacy is defined as the ability to understand, interpret, and act on your health information. And I would venture to say that most people have been in a position, myself included, where because of the situation, you can't do number one. If you can't understand, how can you then interpret and act? And the solution is far too often a brochure or an internet search. And we can do better than that.
Mm. One of the use cases or examples that you guys provide on your website, which I looked at, was a great video of a gentleman. I believe his name was Dr. Michael Danziger, and he did a walkthrough of a 3D model of the pancreas. And he was using it under the auspice of trying to explain to people who maybe were diagnosed with diabetes, or like you said, just didn't understand the disease and therefore weren't doing any action to help with the disease. Tell me about that experience and what were some of the feedbacks or what was some of the learnings that went on in that use case example?
So yeah, that was a lot of fun doing those. We hosted before we even started working on our platform. So currently House Call VR is working on a platform for clinical deployment. So you go to the doctor, they talk to you about whatever's going on. You put on a headset, you're immersed in an experience and you learn about what's going on, your medication, your treatment, whatever, using immersive tech and all of the beautiful affordances that we have there. Prior to doing that, we started by asking the simple question, you know, can we educate people in VR about their health? And, you know, empirically, there's very little evidence that no one's really asked that question so much. There's a couple of studies looking at a variety of outcomes, but it's really not well documented whether or not this is even possible. So we went to a place where people have headsets and are already in VR, and that was in social VR. And we hosted the first public medical lectures in the metaverse. These were public, free, and open. They started in lecture halls, and then at some point I was building PowerPoint slides in 3D, and I thought, well, this is stupid. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to use a two-dimensional medium of information exchange in three dimensions. And so we decided to build the thing. And that's where we had our talk with Dr. Danziger inside of a VR pancreas. And it was an amazing experience. The one thing that really sticks out for me is that three separate people, and there's probably only 20 people in here, three separate people in their avatar form or shortly afterwards through social media said these words almost exactly the same to me. I'm going to be nicer to my pancreas now that I stood in it. now that I was inside this thing that I didn't even really know I had, or kind of maybe knew, but I didn't really know, I'm going to be nicer to that pancreas. And that for me was all that I needed to hear. We did a similar lecture where we built a brain in VR in the social platform, and we had a talk on addiction from inside of a VR brain, and really same feedback. I understand this now. You know, I think I've heard you talk about how this medium has, is an empathy machine. And I think we think of empathy as empathy with other, but this is an incredible opportunity for it to be empathy with self, with ourselves, with things that we don't even know about, many of us.
So I love that, you know, every good organization learns. I wouldn't say pivots. To me, pivot might mean like, you know, you were down the wrong path, but pivot, I think in the way, the sense I'm using the word is, you know, tweak and adjust. And you just said a few minutes ago that you're now looking at the efficacy of when you're meeting with a doctor, maybe your doctor, within that visit, in the moment, you have the patient actually put on the headset, which I think is probably key. Tell me a little bit more about the logistics of that. And a second part to that question is, how do you build a library where medical literacy is this giant, massive list of so many things? Where do you start?
Yeah. I often say, as a startup founder, the most important decisions you make every day are the things that you're not going to do. And especially, you know, in that context, Greg, there's so much. It's so needed. You know, I often sort of quip that our unofficial slogan should be better than a brochure, because that is actually the way that we educate patients in healthcare. You know, that's tragic. And I'm not saying that like just as my opinion, although it is in fact my opinion, but it is demonstrated. I mean, health literacy costs the United States alone something like $200 billion annually. And that's the monetary piece. Like, we're not talking about the disastrous impact to human lives. So this is a literacy issue. And it's not, you know, you're coming from largely from the education space where so much of these educational processes are standardized. That's not the case. That's not the case in healthcare. So just to go back, your question about the logistics, you know, for us, access is really, really critical. So sending headsets home with people, or developing a solution that's only available to people that can buy headsets in the way that they can now, I don't think that's the best way to deploy this. So we see this as a solution where the healthcare system, the provider, the insurance company, the pharmacy, the pharma company, whomever it is, they're supporting this, and the patient is the beneficiary of this. And that's really critical. So putting this out, making this available to patients. So for example, we're partnering with the VHA, the Veterans Health Administration, in their greenhouse program. And what that is, it's an early stage product development and user testing. We're able to do this across the country at a variety of sites. You know, being able to have a solution that is there specifically for our veterans is so critical, especially given the challenges to health access that they have. We're also in the process of finalizing an agreement with the University of Georgia School of Pharmacy, where we're hoping to actually create medication adherence content that could potentially be deployed at rural pharmacies. So we're talking about creating a point of care solution where everyone has the opportunity, no matter what their regular literacy is, no matter what their language is, no matter what their socioeconomic position is, this is available to them. Because this is an health equity is inextricably tied to health literacy. And I think this is something that we can definitely tackle. To go to your second question, where, what, how do we decide what to do? Well, when I was talking about the lack of standardized patient education, there is one exception to that in healthcare, and that's around diabetes. And it turns out that as a podiatrist, I have some subject matter expertise in there. And actually, this is the thing when I'm thinking about what's so hard about teaching my patients, what I want them to know is that diabetes piece. So we're primarily our first, although we have some great early clients across the spectrum that we're developing other modules for, our primary development focus will be around diabetes patient education and self-management. Because there are those frameworks for teaching patients. Yep. And you know, that's, otherwise it's Wild West. It's everybody for themselves. Maybe your doctor's great, maybe they're not. Maybe your institution's great, maybe they're not. You don't know.
You know, the other thing that struck me as you were telling that part of the story or narrative was the whole notion of learning decay. So, you know, even if we up the ante from a brochure to a headset experience, that may only kind of like learning something, we forget it. So there's this notion of empathy or learning decay where over a period of time, they may have learned that they have to stop smoking and they might stop smoking for a little while, but that might go away. It might decay. And so the blood pressure monitor system that they put in pharmacies all over North America, I believe, was a great way to remind people, because they could go and get their blood pressure tested and say, whoa, it's way up again. And I see this akin to that, where if we could get headsets where people could go in on a regular basis, kind of like review or practice to keep them attuned to what they have to do to stay healthy.
I mean, you're 100%, right? And one of the things that we're developing on the back end is a mobile application. So a patient can go and review anytime what it is that they saw. And, you know, I always, the example I use, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here with your audience that listens to this podcast, but the example that I use for many people who might be less familiar with XR, specifically in healthcare or just in general, is that, you know, the Statue of Liberty, like, or the Grand Canyon. Most of us have seen those in person. And prior to that, we probably saw a two-dimensional image of it, right? We probably saw the Statue of Liberty and we're like, okay, that's a recognizable form. We could pick that out of a lineup. But it's not until you're standing at the base of this thing and you see it and you have this three-dimensional map of this, you know, this thing that is this huge icon that you really understand. And when you go back and see it in a two-dimensional form again, your perception of that three-dimensional form is different. It's different. And so leveraging that difference between having experienced, having seen something in two dimensions, read about it, seen it and experienced it in an embodied form, and then going back and being able to access it again. You know, we see that as a great multiplier. Plus, they can show their family, they can show their friends, they can show their neighbor who also has diabetes or has whatever condition it is. You know, this is a shareable thing that isn't limited to just the access to the headset and the hardware.
The other thing you and I talked about months ago, which I think listeners would love to hear about, was it's one thing to look at a generic 3D model of a pancreas, which, don't get me wrong, I think is great, especially if you can go inside. You know, that goes back to your term developing greater understanding, which can lead to action. But another layer to this might be a pancreas that is actually diseased and being able to have the learner see what, you know, they used to do this with smoking to show only two-dimensional, not three-dimensional, but a healthy young lung versus a lung where the person smoked for X number of years. Then the other thing that I know you and I talked about was, what if it's then your lung or your heart, and how powerful that might be in regards to empathy. And so how hard is this to do, to get either, you know, step A, let's get like just a normal 3D model of an organ, step B, get an unhealthy version of it, maybe showing that, you know, what it looks like if you have diabetes for a pancreas. And then the penultimate, which is to show a 3D model of that person's actual organ.
Now, I mean, I think you're absolutely right on the trajectory of this, right? What's available, what's currently possible now. You know, interestingly, in healthcare, in medicine, some of the scans that we rely on to develop a picture are in fact three-dimensional scans. So a CT or an MRI takes images in tiny little slices in three planes. It builds a three-dimensional image, but then it turns it into a two-dimensional file because that's how we transmit information currently, right? So there are some amazing companies working on this. I'm sure you should probably have them on, but I'm sure you've had some of them on to create that. But that is absolutely in our roadmap. You know, how can we put someone not just inside of a skin cell or a pancreas, but their specific pancreas, to give them that self empathy, which, you know, and I mean, to be honest, those pictures of diseased lungs, they're really not that effective because it's someone else. It's other. Yeah. It's not me. It's not mine. It can be explained away and it doesn't change, you know, addictive behaviors or that, you know, that's an entirely other conversation around behavior change. But certainly education is the first step. Understand, interpret, and act. It has to go in those stages.
Since the release of the Apple Vision Pro, as well as the new abilities of the Quest 3, there's been a lot of buzz and development about mixed reality. Has Housecall VR given mixed reality any consideration in their pipeline yet, or it's just too early in your startup stage?
You know, I think that's such an interesting question because, you know, I think we can recognize that as the technology becomes more ubiquitous, MR is likely going to be where most of these interfaces are going to be. However, for us, for now, this is story time. This is the ability, and we're not trying to recreate a pancreas that looks exactly like your pancreas. This is the ability to bring patients into a place of wonder and awe and beauty and self and see these amazing things that happen inside of ourselves and to be able to have actionable knowledge that surrounds that. And for that, I think that's a great use case for VR. Let's put someone inside of something where they could never be in before. The MR has so much utilitarian value if you're teaching procedural knowledge, you know, there's some amazing companies that are working on that, working on teaching surgeons, bringing surgeons to competency. You know, when I learned in my residency, when I learned how to operate, I started with cadavers and I moved on to people. And that is how we train surgeons today, which is crazy. If you think about it, we don't train pilots like that. We bring pilots to competency on a new airplane using simulation and training. We should be doing the same. So I think that's where MR in procedural knowledge is where MR makes so much more sense. And if we move into that direction, I could see that. But for the pure patient engagement, for the magic school bus of the doctor's office that we're creating, I think VR is still absolutely the perfect place to be.
You know, that answer resonates with me so well because like every male over 50, I monitor my blood pressure and I sit on my couch in my room looking around and I always have to try and, you know, calm myself down because if you get anxious, of course, your blood pressure goes up. And I thought to myself, like, I felt like I would skew the results, but if I could put a headset on, find a nice, like you said, get lost in a space, my anxiety in taking my blood pressure would be so much better. And I see that applicable to other people where, you know, it is emotionally charged to learn about your you know, your health and medical literacy, especially if something is going kind of slightly awry. And so I see that, and your answer as being a good one in regards to that. One of the things when you and I first connected again a few months ago was, you know, the notion of the term house call used to go back where, you know, it meant that doctors came into your home and they could diagnose you and talk to you there. So the first thing that came to my mind as your business model was that people could meet up in separate parts of the world inside a VR space on headsets, and they could be diagnosed and talked to, et cetera, through that medium. When I talked to you before, you hadn't sort of come to sort of fruition on whether that was a direction you were taking. Where are you now in regards to that use case?
Yeah, so great question. Our name stems from a little bit more ephemeral idea that house call represents a time when the patient was actually, in fact, the center of the healthcare process, where your provider comes to you. They come on your terms, as opposed to the industrialized healthcare systems that we have today, largely. And so the name comes less from the idea of meeting together. Now, that being said, of course that's where we want to go. Of course that's the place that and whether it's our on our roadmap as a patient education and engagement platform, I think so. Yeah, I mean, how wonderful for us to be able to decrease barriers to top-notch care for anyone using immersive technology to have an embodied experience where they are honored and seen and treated and cared for in their language. I mean, you know, we're when we look at the advances in AI, the ability to transcend language, time, space, culture, these things are coming, and to do it in an embodied way, you know, would be a great honor for us.
Linda, I always like to close up by giving more of an open-ended mic type question, which is, you know, is there anything else left unsaid that you feel the audience might want to hear about your amazing company, as well as what's up next?
So, yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me on. I think it's such a pleasure to have the opportunity to share. You know, as someone who is, I'm still a practicing physician and seeing patients 2 days a week, a startup founder, and sort of straddling this space between healthcare, technology, and education. That's kind of a novel little niche that we found. It's great to be able to share specifically with the education audience. I'm amazed at the work that is being done in immersive tech in education. And I think that industry is so far ahead of healthcare, certainly when it comes to educating patients so it really, if anyone wants to get in touch with me or has any further questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. We're going to be at a couple of industry events. We'll be at AWE in June. So if anyone is planning to be there, come find me. But I'm always interested in learning about what people are doing, and you know, would love to connect with any of your listeners.
Yeah, you know, you closed out saying that education is farther ahead, but I don't see, you know, my job as a teacher as being much different than what you guys are trying to do. So I think that, you know, that's equally amazing, except, you know, everyone, like you said, I think before we got on and hit record, everyone has a story kind of like mine, where we just need more understanding about some of the things that might be going wrong with us. And, if we had that, you know, we'd have greater action and we might be able to help ourselves. So I just think there's a problem to be solved here that you're headed down the right path. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on and letting me share. I enjoy your podcast and I look forward to listening to all the episodes that are coming up too.
Thanks for being on the show.